Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, Cody Frankel. No Avery's Rookie today. We don't know why. Cody's already jumping in and ruining the intro. Great to be back with you all. The Rangers are, 3-0-1 to start the year? Very strong start, but right off the hop here, Cody, I want to say something, and I want you to give me your opinion because, you know, while I am excited, Panarin's a hat trick last night. They beat down the Red Wings 5-2 final score, and they look great. Not the greatest start. They kill a 5-on-3 early, and Panarin comes down and scores a big goal after that off a great feed by Trocheck and a great play by Lafreniere. But the three wins they have, two of them are against a very, 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 very bad Detroit team and a mediocre Pittsburgh Penguins team. The one loss they have in overtime against a Utah Hockey Club team that is maybe subpar at best. You know, we're talking about...
They're beating down on people, man.
Listen, they've had a good start. They've had a good start. I wouldn't say they're beating down on people.
I mean, aren't they 4-0?
No, they beat the Blackhawks. They beat the Rangers and Islanders, both in overtime.
3-1-1. They're 3-1-1.
They lost to the Devils.
Yeah.
3-0. And then they lost to the Anaheim Ducks. They're not a great team. So the first four games the Rangers have played, none of them have really come against a strong team. So listen, I get why everyone's excited. Everyone should be excited, but don't think that this is going to be anything different because what I've seen early on, what I've seen early on, and I'm going to get right into it here is, you know, Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere, they're playing great. The goaltending we've gotten outside of the Utah game has been great, but the one thing that I'm going to talk, or two things, I guess, the glaring issue so far is Mika Zibanejad still sucks. Does not look great. Still does not look great. And the third line still can't really score. So the same issues are reoccurring as to what we finished with last year. And that's why I'm not like overly excited about this start. Like I want to see them play a good team and they have a good test Saturday night against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So here's what I'll say. Good teams find a way to beat bad teams, right? I think we can all agree.
They should.
Right. So can you essentially ask for a better start than getting 7 points in your first eight possible? Like, you had a chance to get 8 points, you got 7. I mean, I think that's as good as it gets in terms of the Rangers could have easily went 2-2. Don't forget, man. I'm pretty sure last year they started 1-3-1 under Laviolette. So I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I'm pretty positive. They started 1-3-1 in their first five against Laviolette. So, you know, it's a better start than
that. There's no way that's accurate.
I think it is, man. You wanna quote the? I'll find it right now.
I'm gonna look it up. You keep talking. I'll look it up.
Okay. So, you know what I'm gonna say here is like, we looked really good last night, and yes, the third line didn't put up any points, and they have to. I thought Cooley had a great game. I thought he looked pretty good.
He's been good. He's been good.
So, you know, the fact of the matter is you're not touching your top six, right? Like you're just not at this point. I think it's pretty set. So there's nothing you can really do in that bottom six except for tinker that around. And, you know, I've said time and time again, like if Kako doesn't break out, put him on the fourth line and give somebody else an opportunity. That hasn't happened, and Kako hasn't scored goals, and that's okay. But there is going to come a time, like you just said, where they are going to get tested against another juggernaut as themselves, and they're going to have to do something because I think we've seen Johnny's about to get kicked out of his hotel room.
I'm getting a call in my hotel room. Yeah, can I answer it quickly while you keep going?
Put on speaker. Speakerphone only. Are you going to tell the listeners what just happened?
I mean, I picked up and no one was there, so I'm not sure what happened.
Getting ghosted like you do with every aspect of life. Okay, so anyways, you know, I think you're onto something, and I think you're right in the sense that, like, yes, they haven't done anything, but I will disagree with you.
Well, I'm not saying they haven't done anything.
No. I'm
just saying they haven't really been tested.
Sure, but I think they kind of have been tested against bad teams to make sure that they're not going to lose close games to like bad teams. And yes, Utah sure might be mediocre, a little bit above mediocre, but I think it's a little telling that they did, you know, their top guys are scoring, which is a great thing. Mika aside, because he's as close to useless as it comes right now, but that's fine. But I think you know, as they go down this stretch and play better teams, like they're also going to be able to get acclimated as a team and, you know, figure out their jives. Like they're still learning out how Riley Smith plays and, you know, Mancini won't be on the team for that long once, you know, Lindy comes back, but maybe debatable. He scored.
We'll see.
But I think what I'm trying to say is like, you know, I can't be critical for once. I can't be critical of this team, how they've played in their first four games, because I'm entirely satisfied with it. And I'm not expecting, I look at the third line like I look at the New York Jets, okay? I'm not expecting anything from them, but if they pleasantly surprise me, I'll be pretty happy, okay? So if they can start scoring goals, I think that's important. Do I think they need to figure something out to be productive down the stretch going into playoffs? Sure, absolutely. They have 75 games to figure that out. And that's really up to Laviolette and his staffing team to unlock that from them, right? Like he needs to unlock that from them. And, you know, there's going to come a point where you're going to have to assess the third line and say, do all of these guys on this line make sense? Which I've been saying for over a year now. And I think that point's going to come sooner or later is all I'm going to say.
Well, here's one thing, just, you know, these underlying metrics or whatever, when it comes to looking deeper at this team, the bottom six has outchanced the opponents and the top six has been outchanced by the opponents. So just looking at all four lines based on natural stat trick here, the first line, which I consider of Trocheck, Panarin, Lafreniere, they've had 50 chances for and 53 chances against. The Mika line, 38 chances for, 45 chances against. The Carrick line, which is the fourth line, 25 chances for, 20 against. And the third line, 52 chances for, 45 chances against. Like, what? What?
I was just going to say, there's a you know, big differentiator in chances and results. And I think...
No, of course. I'm just saying... But I'm just saying, like,
yeah, the opportunity's there. Sure.
No, but looking at it big picture, what are the complaints in the playoffs? It's that other teams' top guys outperform our top guys. And we're seeing that somewhat early. Granted, the goals aren't going in for the other teams. Like, we are scoring goals. At least Trocheck, Panarin, and Lafreniere are scoring goals. But outside of that, at 5-on-5, who's doing much?
No one.
Like, I know the first game against Pittsburgh that, like, every line scored a 5-on-5 goal. But the last three games, I'm not seeing, like, such a dominant 5-on-5 effort. You know, like, the power play has come up big again, which we knew it would. The Panarin, Trocheck, Lafreniere line generates. But outside of that, like, it's not so convincing right now through the first four games that the results are going to be all that different. That's all I'm trying to say. Like, I'm happy they're 3-on-1. They should be 3-on-1, but I'm not sitting here like, oh, this team is going to be, you know, that fucking good, you know? And I don't want to have like a negative look at it. But after last year, I'm really just trying to look a little deeper, you know? Yeah. And one thing that I don't think we really talked about, I guess we can wait for it with the fan questions. But even just little things like, you know, the D pairs closing out a game. Like, the Rangers haven't really had a super tight closeout game yet. They, you know, have dominated most of the three wins besides the 4-1 win against Detroit where they were up by two late in the game. And, you know, I noticed that they switched Fox and Miller and put Miller and Trouba back together and put Fox with Schneider to close out the game. Like, Adam Fox right now, and last year too, Miller and Trouba close out games. Adam Fox is not used to close out games under Peter Laviolette, which I find super interesting. You know, up two goals, 5 minutes left. What?
Why do you think that is?
Well, that's what I'm starting to wonder, because most number one guys are the ones who are out there to finish a game, right? Like Makar and Hughes. You always see them defending 5-on-6. But for whatever reason, and again, last year it's somewhat different when, you know, Fox and Lindgren are paired together and Miller and Trouba are paired together, but seeing that Fox and Miller were paired together and then 5 minutes to go, you separate that pair and put Fox with Schneider and Miller with Trouba to close out the game. It's just, it's a little odd. And that's something I'll be looking for as the season progresses. Kind of a different topic, but it's something that I noticed that I think, you know, some people should just be like, oh, you know, does Laviolette not trust Fox late in the game? Is he not considered one of the better defenders on the team? Which I think he is.
Yeah, you make a really good point. And, you know, it's definitely a storyline.
It's a little detail. It's a little detail.
But it's an important one. I mean, that's something I haven't even noticed, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's something I'm going to pay attention to now because, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you look at McAvoy. I'm sure you look at Kale. I'm sure you look at, you know, Brent Burns, whoever. Like, those guys are closing out games.
Yeah.
And they're always on the ice. And they're on the ice for long stretches. But you know what I find most interesting is in playoffs, I feel like Fox has the most ice time on the team. Like, look aside from last season because he was obviously hurt.
Also, the Rangers were 3-2-0 to start the year last year. I don't know where you got 1-3-1 from.
Maybe it was – wait. No. You're wrong. I don't believe it.
I looked it up.
Cody stats. I'm checking.
Okay. What are you saying?
No, I was just saying, like, it's a really good point you make. And, you know, I think it's something to like, pay attention to as the season progresses. Like, I wonder if the lack of trust – and this could be me spitballing.
We don't know if it's a lack of trust yet.
Just listen.
But he obviously likes Trouba and Miller to close out games more.
But do you think the reasoning for that has something to do with Fox playing injured in the playoffs and maybe not explaining like how severe his injury was, right? Like they came out and said he had like a sore calf or something when the guy clearly had like, you know, a torn Achilles or whatever
MCL,
it was.
Yeah,
torn MCL. You know what I mean? Like, so I wonder if, I don't know. I wonder if that's something that's lingering. I don't know. Totally spitballing here, but I think it's definitely an interesting.
But there's room for speculation. There's room for speculation because of that.
Yeah. No, it's a very, very good point. And, you know, before we get into fan questions and a bunch of other things, I do want to talk
one more topic before fan questions.
Okay. But before we talk about this other topic, I want to talk about one of our sponsors, BetOnline. And BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything sports betting. We at the Blue Crew use it all the time. And, you know, they have every stat, live odds, spreads, matchup breakdown during games. And they do have the largest catalog of odds from everything from NHL, MLB playoffs, football, even political props, which is crazy. And, you know, when the game's over, make sure to go head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or even just unwind with over 150 different slots games. Head to the website now. Check out BetOnline. It's where the game starts. All right, back to the show.
All right, so one thing I just want to talk about before we get into the fan questions, and I'm sure we'll have fan questions about this, but you know, I feel like it's just an important topic that we got to at least discuss. And that's Jake Ottinger yesterday signing that 8x8.25 extension with the Dallas Stars.
Yep.
Which now, you know, obviously sets the goalie market for, we'll say the 1B goalies in the NHL. Like, I still have Igor and Vasilevsky as my 1As. And then, you know, the Ottingers, Hellebuck. Hellebuck could be a 1A as well.
Hellebuck's a 1A.
Yeah. Ottinger, 1A. Ullmark, Sorokin, Swayman, Bobrovsky, you know, those guys, right? The rest. Saros. I don't have Saros on here. I probably should have, but I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think 7 total goalies here, what they're making and what their playoff stats are. Because the question keeps coming up, is Igor Shesterkin $4 million better than these goalies? Is he $2 million better than Vasilevsky?
Who brought up that question?
Everybody. You're not the only
first. Who was the first person?
You're not the first. It was all over my Twitter replies to ask that question. But you were the first one in our group chat if you want that credit.
Obviously, I'm the only smart one, but all right, keep going. Okay.
So let me just read Igor Shesterkin's playoff stats right now. And I know the saying is that you make your money in the regular season and you make your name in the playoffs, but if you're going to get paid a lot of money, you better be fucking good in the playoffs. Yep. So Igor Shesterkin in his postseason career is 23-20. He started 44 games. I know that math doesn't add up, but he's been pulled from one. He has a .928 save percentage.
What?
He was pulled out of one game.
But you said he's 24-20?
23-20 in 44 games.
Huh. Okay.
Okay. So Igor Shesterkin, 23-20 in 44 games, a .928 save percentage, and a 2.41 goals against average. Keep those numbers in mind. That's how good Igor has been in the playoffs. Who's another goalie you want to ask about if he's $4 million better than?
I mean, Ottinger is the first one that comes to mind.
All right. So Ottinger to me is the closest thing to Igor right now. Jake Ottinger in 47 playoff games somehow has played more playoff games than Igor, because Dallas, I think, has gone a little deeper in the past 2 years. Okay. You know, obviously, the Rangers had a first round exit 2 years ago. Yeah. Ottinger is 23-22. He has a 0.915 save percentage and a 2.46 goals against. So Igor's save percentage is still slightly better, and the goals against also slightly better. But
what was Igor's save percentage?
0.928. And Ottinger was a 0.915.
Okay.
But again, you have to remember that Ottinger's team around him has way less holes than the Rangers team around Igor.
Yeah.
So I think Igor's importance is sparked in that $4 million more AAV, if that makes sense.
You know, right?
Like, I think I said yesterday, you put Igor on Dallas last year, they win the cup. I think without a doubt. And again, hypothetical, hard to argue, but that's how good I think Igor is.
How about Thatcher Demko?
I don't have Demko on here. He's more recent emergence. You know, I'm trying to think of guys who like
Bobrovsky.
Well, also it's kind of based on what they're making too. Bobrovsky I do have on here. So Bobrovsky is 45-43. Okay. Granted, remember Bobrovsky's making $10 million per year.
Yep.
45-43 has a 0.905 save percentage and a 2.85 goals against.
But he's played double the games.
Keep that in mind as well. Double the games of those two goalies. But here's where it gets interesting too, because I think, you know, it's been asked, is he $4 million better than Sorokin? Is he $4 million better than Swayman? Is he $4 million better than Omark? Is he $4 million better than Hellebuck even? And Igor's numbers are so much better outside of Swayman, but Swayman's played half the games of Igor that it's like, it's a no brainer. So let me just kind of read through these ones. Hellebuck is 18-27.
Ooh,
he has a 0.910 save percentage and a 2.85 goals against. Not good numbers at all in the playoffs. Linus Ullmark, 3-6, only 10 playoff starts. He's been yanked as well.
Yeah.
A 0.887 save percentage.
Okay.
And a 3.59 goals against.
That's awful.
Awful. Ilya Sorokin, 6-6 in 14 games, yanked twice. A 0.919 save percentage and a 2.83 goals against.
Wait, save percentage,
what?
Repeat that.
A 0.919 save percentage and a 2.83 goals against.
Okay.
So the save percentage is somewhat close to Shesterkin, but nowhere near the amount of games.
Right.
30 less games.
Right.
And then Swayman, obviously more recent, 9-10 in 20 games, has been yanked once. Yep. A 0.922 save percentage and a 2.38 goals against average. The only goals against average that's better than Shesterkin's. The only one. But he's played also in less than half.
What about UC?
I don't have Saros on here, which I probably should. And that's, you know, I'll take blame for that. But here's the one that obviously stands out the most. And this is Andrei Vasilevskiy making $9.5 million. 66-46. 115 games. 0.920 save percentage and the same goals against as Igor, 2.41, and has played in triple essentially the games that Igor has played in.
Yeah, which is means Vazzy is clearly top.
Yeah, dollar. But sorry if those numbers were all over the place. Again, like I don't think that Igor is $2 million better than Vasilevsky's numbers. I don't.
He's not.
I do think,
but he's $2 million better than Bob's numbers, but. Bob just won a cup. Igor didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, though, like you look at the team around these guys.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if the Rangers go as far with anyone else in net, maybe outside of Vasilevsky.
Probably not, but also like that's Vazzy over his career. Like Vazzy today, yeah. I think there's a couple goals. Like I think
signed that 9.5 a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So like, you gotta
but
think
there
about
are goaltenders today that are better than Vazzy. I mean, just playoff Vazzy is a different beast, but like, I mean, their time's probably done. Like, you know, that first round exit last year. Like
they look pretty damn good right now to start the year.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I
haven't watched that much of Tampa.
It's
okay to say it if you haven't.
No, I mean, I definitely haven't been sitting watching Tampa games. I know they lost to Vegas. I know they actually beat Vegas the other night, right?
Yeah, they're 3-0 right now.
Okay. 3-0, not 4-0.
Kucherov has 6 goals in 3 games.
Two,
I mean, a couple empty netters, but
Yeah.
Any thoughts though? Like, what number now, knowing Ottinger's contract, are you comfortable giving Igor? I'm still on the 11.7, but I think anything north of 12, I just don't yeah. know. I don't know.
I agree. North of 12 is not a great look. If we didn't offer him the $11 million and the Ottinger number came out, I would have said Igor's number is 10.5.
Yeah, honestly. I agree.
I would have said he's
a good point.
Give him a million more than Vazzy. He's better than Bob. Give him a million, give him half a million more than Bob. Make him the highest paid goalie in the league right now. And that's that. He's not like, I can't believe.
Well, 10.5 is what Carey Price technically, he's sure, still the.
Give him 10.6 then. Give him 10.6. Yeah. I don't care. I just like. I'm kind of annoyed. Like, I texted this to the group. Like, I'm a little pissed now that, like, he declined $11 million. And then Ottinger, who's like, you know, I know you just said this, but, like, I don't know if the Rangers would be that much worse with Ottinger if they took that $8.5 million from Ottinger and then got, like, you know, used the 3.5 to get, like, a pretty good top four D-man. Like, I could argue they'd be just as good, if not a little better. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a good argument. It really is. I think, listen.
But there's no denying, and here's the thing. That's like, this is why I made the point, though. There's no denying that when it comes to playoffs, Igor is the guy.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I they don't have a choice. Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you or I think, if I'm being completely honest, or what anybody thinks, because they dug themselves into this hole. They built their team and constructed their team this way. The math, the schematics, the team, the players, nothing works without Igor and Ned. So one way or another, this team is going to have to pay Shesterkin, as they rightfully should, whether we agree with it and it's $12.4 million, whether we don't agree with it, doesn't matter. 11.6, 12.4, 11.7, whatever it is, the dude's going to get paid. My thoughts are, I do not think Shesterkin is going to accept an $11.7 million deal because it's only $700,000 more than what they currently offered him, which is not a big number. Okay.
And yeah, but what's 700 times, 700,000 times eight.
That's it's like an extra 5.6 million. Six, yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, yeah, it's $5 million is a lot of money. I could save hunger with $5 million. Yeah. But I just don't think I think he's being very, you know,
he's got an ego,
narrow-minded, set in his ways, egotistic, whatever you want to call it. Like, I think his number, and I will stand by this, is like 12 to 12.5. I really think he's looking for 12 to 12.5 and to completely reset the market. And one way or another, like I said, whether we like it or not, like, the Rangers are going to have to pay this guy his money. There is no number, like, you know, within like reach that like that's out of reach that he could say no to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know,
no, it's a good talking point. All right, let's go into fan questions, 'cause we have a good amount.
Okay.
This one, we'll start with, they forgot my chips. Interesting one. That's gotta be a new one. Even though he's a good contributing third liner, is Kako a bust or something else?
Yeah, he's a bust. I mean, I think at this point,
been hating Kako this year.
It's not even that I hate him. Listen, he's 20. What is he? 25, 24?
No, not even. I think he's 24 maybe.
He's got to be 24. No, he's 23. Okay, he's 23, turning 24. He's turning 24 in 4 months. It's not that I hate the kid at all. I think he's probably a great kid, and I think he just needs an opportunity elsewhere. Like, what he brings to his game and what he's looking to do is not a fit for the New York Rangers. It's just not. We're in a contention window now. We need point producers. Like, we don't need, you know, hard to play against, like, checking guys who don't put up points like Kako's doing. And I think he would probably be best on a different team. In terms of, like, a bust for his draft capital, like, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. The guy's a fucking bust. Like,
there's no other way around it.
I mean, I hate to say it. Like, you know, it's like, you and just because he is doesn't mean he's not a good hockey player, can't contribute to a team's success. Like, I want to make that very clear. Okay. It does not mean he can't play and be a, you know, be a contributing factor to the Rangers' success if the Rangers won the cup. he's still a bust. I mean, he's in his sixth year. Yes, he's still a young player. Yes, he can still flourish into somebody good. But for where he was taken in the NHL draft, he is a bust. Like, that's it.
It's funny, though, and I think I said this on a show last year that we did, and I heard Don LaGreca kind of talking about it in a different sport. I don't know if it was football. Probably wasn't baseball, but I remember hearing Don, mention just like how we view where players are drafted. And I think if you look at this Rangers team and you switch where Adam Fox and Kaapo Kakko were drafted, no one bats an eye. Like, we love Fox, and as we should, because Adam Fox is a third round pick that we picked up in a prospect trade that turned into a Norris Trophy number one defenseman.
Yeah.
And he was drafted 66 overall.
Yeah.
If you put Kaapo Kakko at 66 overall, I don't think any Ranger fans say like negative things about him.
No. And they might say he's a steal for where he was taken. They might say, wow.
I don't know if anyone would say he's a steal, because he hasn't like really, you know, produced a lot. But I just don't think anyone really, I don't think he's as much of a conversation, you know, there should be more of a conversation about how like Adam Fox has turned into this NHL superstar after being drafted in the third round, you know, that's not even a conversation at all. So it's just funny how we view draft picks. Like, again, like Cody said, Kakko is a fine player. He's not a second overall player. He's not.
Yeah.
But, Adam Fox is also not a third round player, you know? So like, if you just go in with the mindset of those two guys switching spots, like, we'll take it. I feel like, you know what I mean? The draft thing, the number two overall thing, you know, it's a little bit overplayed and outdated.
Yeah.
If you ask me. All right, let's go to the next one. You're going to have something to say about this for sure. Pete Carms, what's it going to take to fix Mika? Looks disinterested and only player that's a minus. Which is insane, by the way, that he's the only player that's a minus.
This might sound really bad to say, but I think Mika's had a lot of life changes in the past.
You're not doing this. You're doing this.
No. You actually don't know what was I going to say?
I thought you were going to say being a dad.
No, what I was going to say. Well, I mean but yes. But what I was going to say was I think some of Mika's priorities have changed over the past 2 years. And I think that's a fair thing to say. And I think he has all these things going on outside of hockey plus in hockey. And I think, I don't know. I mean, is it crazy to say he might not be as in love or as interested in hockey these days anymore? That's kind of my take, is he has all these things going on, and is his wife pregnant with a second kid? Did I make that up?
I don't know. I know Fox's wife.
Maybe not. But regardless, he recently got married. He recently had a kid. He recently has all these other things going on. I know he has some burger venture going on with his brother, and he has a lot of shit going on. And maybe another speculation train. Maybe he has a lot of other things going on outside of hockey, that hockey is no longer his number one priority. And I think it's fair to say that's shown on the ice. So that's just my take on that. I just think he doesn't seem interested in the game that we love, is my take.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fair to somewhat speculate when you have a number one center who's making a lot of money and locked in long-term that, basically hasn't lived up to that, in recent memory. You kind of think of a guy like Jack Eichel, who has taken off and has looked great and is a no doubt about it, number one center, where people question that for a couple of years. But Mika, he's 31 years old, and sometimes when you do get older, maybe priorities do change. You're a father. I mean, you would know better than me. I don't know what happens to priorities when you have a kid.
Else you were doing in life, whether it's work, side hustles, friends, whatever it is, that stuff's still all there, but it gets pushed to the back burner and it's not your number one anymore. I'll just say that. And again, I can't speak on behalf of Mika. I'm not, unfortunately, making $70 million. But things change and priorities change. And like, that's not the number one anymore for us as fans and as this fan base. Like, it's really, really unfortunate because we have this guy through the 2020s. He is a free agent in 2030. We're in 2024. That is a big fucking red flag and a big problem that I don't know how we're going to fix.
I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is, you know, four games in, and he's the only player that's a minus. He only has six shots.
Yeah. Like, and, you know, I
the guy that I thought could score 40 goals, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. I want to make it very clear, okay? It's not that I'm being critical of all these guys like Mika, Kako, and, you know, there's a list. I'm at the point where, and I think everybody agrees, like, this is a very make it or break it season for the New York Rangers. And if we aren't going to be critical and hold players accountable who are very fairly compensated and not producing at the levels they should be, then who else is going to do it? Because it's clearly not management, you know, like it has to be Cody Franklin and Johnny Lazarus. I don't know what else to say.
No, it's tough. But these are fair questions, you know? All right, let's go. This is funny. Just a comment from Shane Bowen. Can you tell Avery he's not welcome in Australia after shitting all over it?
We
have a couple of Australian listeners. I had people DM me and say, like, they have no idea what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to Australia. It's pretty funny. All right.
It's pretty good.
We'll get into the next one. Willie White 17. Is Panarin
What a name.
He's written in before. Is Panarin trying to prove he's better than Igor so Igor takes a better deal? LFGR.
I mean, no but
no.
It's fair question.
It's just a funny narrative to run with. I think I saw like Ryan Mead saying that they didn't start Igor last night till I don't know. So, what?
None.
Ryan Mead.
Who?
You're doing a joke. All right. Let's see. G Slotnik 19. What can this team show us over 82 that gives you the most confidence for playoffs? LFGR.
5-on-5 goals and third line production. And that's it. That's the narrative.
That's the one thing.
And I think number three is like stronger defense, like in the sense of, don't give up dumb shots like we have seen time and time again. Like, don't let the team get off dumb shots that could have been stopped. You know what I mean? Like, like Keandre Miller making really stupid plays out there. Like you can't be doing that. You're in year five and you're in a contract year. You know, like things like that.
Oh, yeah. Luis Giampiccolo. Hopefully I pronounced that right. What player do you think has stood out the most so far defensively? I actually think Fox has been great. Obviously there's been a little bit of a microscope under like Mancini and Jones because they're like the newer guys. Mancini's been good, obviously, for, you know, his first four games in the NHL. I think Jonesy's been great. He attempted the Michigan last night, which I thought was hilarious. I texted him about it and he was like, may as well go for it if you have it. And I think Fox has been great. And that's why the closing out the game thing to me was a topic, just because I think he has been really good defensively, not only contributing points wise. But yeah, I think Fox has been really good. You?
Yeah, Fox has been great. You know, I hope he continues to do what he does best. And, you know, he looks a lot better than he obviously did in the playoffs when he was hurt. I think he, you know, hasn't missed a step since he's been back here this season. And I just hope he continues strong. And you know what else I will say about Fox is he's really speaking a lot in the locker room and, you know, in press conferences. I've noticed that I've never noticed in previous seasons. I really think he's been outspoken these first few games. I really like it. And I think he's really showing, you know, a different side of leadership. And I appreciate that.
Interesting. Is it cause I'm posting more clips of it?
Like, no, nobody cares about your stuff, but I think it's more so, you know, I've just seen every single game I'm seeing Fox speak, and I've never really seen that in the past. Like, yes, he's spoken, but like you kind of see it once every, you know, once a week, and all five games I've seen Foxy clips of him talking. But yeah, you've contributed to that a little bit.
Four games, but good
four
stuff.
Games, four games, sorry. I was just looking at this thing and I thought
five. This question we have from a lot of people, should Mancini stay in after everyone is eventually healthy? I just don't think it's going to happen. What?
Repeat that?
Should Mancini stay in after everyone is healthy eventually? From Daniel Nick.
I don't think
he will.
I mean, yeah, I give my opinion on that. Like, once Lindgren's back, he's getting taken out.
It's gonna be Fox, Lindgren, Schneider, Miller, and Trouba Jones. That's what it's
going to be. Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, if they do that to Zach Jones, it's just like, just fucking trade the kid. Like, you know, stop messing around with him. But yeah.
Okay, let's find another one. There's a lot of Mika. Let's see. Perry Kunivelis. Is Panarin having the best start to a Ranger season in recent memory? I mean, he literally is the first Ranger ever to have four straight multi-point games in franchise history. And what was his point streak at last year? Like 11 games?
Yeah.
So was it more than, it might have been more than that. But yeah, I mean, he's having an unbelievable start. 11 points through four games is insane.
He's cooking.
Looks great in the power play, shooting the puck, doing everything.
Dude, fun little fact. Who is tied with Panarin right now for top points in the league? Somebody,
Kenny Malkin.
Is that not crazy?
Yeah, he's having the best start to his career, and he's 38 years old. It's nuts.
Yeah, absurd.
Nuts. Did you not think I would know that?
No, I probably did because you probably refreshed the stat sheet like three times.
I mean, I literally do a show 4 days a week in the NHL.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This one from Pat Bone 4. Good first game for Quick. How important is this tandem to the success of the team? It's everything.
Yeah, Quick looked awesome last night. I mean, he made some huge stops.
I think Quick had 16 wins last year.
Yeah, he is, like, give him $11 million. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, he's
amazing. Give him $11 million. That's funny. Let's do like one more. This is a shout out. Phil_Tyka, favorite player to never play in the NHL. Shout out Bobby Trivino. Go UMass.
Dude, Bobby's the man. I wish he had his opportunity.
He's playing overseas now.
Remember when he almost came on our show and then we had to cancel it?
Yeah.
Good times.
All right, let's do this. This is actually not a question that was written in, but it's something that I wanted to talk about. We'll end with this. Fully healthy forwards, because Matt Rempe's now been scratched back-to-back games. I do think he will play in Toronto on Saturday night. I think Toronto plays a little bit heavier than Detroit does, and I think that's something that Laviolette has harped on, that he's going to throw Rempe in when he feels like the matchups are appropriate. Detroit is not an overly physical team. Their defensemen are not necessarily bigger. Toronto has added some size to their blue line and guys like Ekman-Larsson and Chris Tanev, and I think Rempe being out there will help, you know, kind of run those guys down a bit. But Matt Rempe, Avery and I bet last show, I had the under 2.5 goals this year. We put $100 on it. I don't think he will get to 3. What do you think as far as that fourth line goes? Because I think when Jimmy Vesey is healthy, it's going to be Edstrom, Carrick, and Vesey. Like, I think that is the fourth line I want going forward. But what do you make of Rempe being scratched these last couple games here? He's been scratched 3 out of 4.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, I think we said in the offseason, right, like, Rempe playing in games is going to be very thoughtful and very matchup-based. And he's not a guy who's going to play every single night, game in, game out, every single game, night in, night out. But he is a guy who brings a different element, you know, when he plays in front of the home crowd, right? So I think out of the 38, 39 home games left, like, he'll probably play in half of them because it's going to be very intentional and very matchup-based and, you know, to get the crowd going and things like that. But I think in matchups where skill matters more, like, you're going to see Rempe sit. I mean, it's just the facts. And I think at this point, like, I know the kid's like 22, 21, but like, we know who he is, right? Like,
I disagree. I don't think we know who he is.
We know who he is, man. He's not this skillful
player. He hasn't been given the free reins to like go.
But he's never going to be given the free reins. Like, he's just never going to be. Edstrom is more talented, and Edstrom.
No, I agree. I agree.
So it's like, where's he going to play, and when's he going to play? You know,
I fully agree, but I think the argument is that we don't know what giving Rempe, you know, basically what's the term I'm looking for? Like, you know, taking the leash off of him fully and giving him like 12 minutes a night looks like. We don't know what that is.
Could turn into 3 turnovers, 2 goals.
But listen, I think, granted, the goal came back, but like, he did a good job getting in front of Connor Ingram in the home opener and,
yeah,
you know, getting Mancini a goal that was, again, taken back. I think it was a bullshit call, but I think how is this kid now going to have any confidence?
I mean, yeah, it's
he's not going to have any.
Well, if you've heard him in like press conferences, like he said, like, I know what this is. And like, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity. And like, when I get thrown in, like, I'm going to be ready. So like, I think as a fan, you can very much appreciate that. And, you know, if it happens all year and then like next year, they ask him the same thing. I mean, I'm sure we'll get a different answer, but listen, the Rangers got to do what the Rangers got to do to put them in the best position to win and gear them up for the Stanley Cup. And if that means playing Matt Rempe in only 15 games, like that's what they got to do. Yeah. And that's what they're going to do. And that's the facts.
But that's why Rempe has become such a thing. It's because I've never really seen a player get thrown in one in every four games and get 4 to 7 minutes of ice time. Like it's the weirdest.
I mean,
it's the weirdest usage of a Dorsett, like play, like he, I mean, I don't have his numbers in front of me, but like Rempe is just, it's such a interesting situation because it feels like he's never really going to get the consistency that a player would need to fully reach potential, you know?
Yeah.
Like we don't know what he is, and I don't think we will possibly ever. But again, like I said, I want Edstrom, Carrick, and BC as that fourth line. I think that's the most effective fourth line we could put together. Edstrom has been phenomenal, I think, so far this year. Mm-hmm. And now I'm getting a knock on the door. 1 second.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Housekeeping just came to my room. But yeah, I mean, to wrap up, you know, my thought on it, like if you want to put a number on how many games Rempe plays this year, because I would put it at 24 and a half.
I was going to say 27.
27. You think he plays up to 27?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's all I really got for this episode. This was one of our more insightful ones, I feel like.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, fans could probably agree, like, it's just so much better without Avery.
Yeah. I miss him.
Also, what'd you say?
I miss him. I love Avery.
Yeah. No, I hate him. Yeah, I love him too. But also, I was going to say, actually, when I said earlier the Rangers had a bad start in 23-24, I was actually thinking of 2022-2023 when they started 3-5.
Sure.
Look it up, man. They started 3-5 that year.
Okay. You just Googled it or something?
I did, because I was like, what is he talking about? They started 2-2 last year, and then the year before they started 3-5. But the last thing I'll say is, thank you all for listening. And I do want to ask Johnny, like, what's one TV show you would plug right now? Because, and don't say the NHL one. It has to be outside the NHL one.
The only show I've watched in the last month was Nobody Wants This.
Okay. That show was great. I watched it. I thought it was awesome.
You know, I don't really watch shows. That's the only one I've watched, though.
The Penguin Dude. I'm sure a lot of you guys are watching The Penguin right now with Colin Farrell on HBO. Incredible.
Colin Farrell's the hot guy.
Weird.
Oh,
statement,
no.
But
no. Who's the hot guy? In the Sydney Sweeney movie.
Glenn Powell.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that guy.
This is why we don't let Johnny off the leash too much. Similar to Matt Rempe. But all right. Yeah. Thank you all for listening. We love you guys. LFGR, baby.